I'm Jeff Nally in Washington with our Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. It's National Agriculture Day, and that's a day to celebrate not just for producers, but for consumers as well.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity for us to remember that we're a food secure nation. Very few nations on earth have the opportunity to basically say that their farmers, ranchers, and producers produce everything that's necessary to feed the people. Many, many countries would like to have that advantage. It makes us a much more secure nation. It's a national security opportunity. It's one thing we don't often think about, but National Ag Day gives us the opportunity to think about that. That every single one of us who isn't a farmer is able to be a farmer, because we don't have to worry about where the food's going to come from to feed our family. We just need a paycheck to go to the grocery store.
I recall having an interview with Bob Berglund, a former Secretary of Agriculture, and as you spoke at the AgriPulse Summit in Washington, you referred to some of the same issues Mr. Berglund was talking about that we're still facing today. What are they, and why is it important that now, today, we address those issues?
Well, I think Secretary Berglund was concerned about the consolidation of farmland, the fact there were fewer farms, and farmers are aging at a fairly rapid rate. And I think he was concerned about the state of agriculture generally. He certainly looked at a variety of different issues: conservation, tax policy, commodity policy, research, exports. The one thing that I think we haven't done, which I think we're doing now, which is really to focus on how do we create additional profit centers out of that same small and mid-sized farm, so that farmers don't just benefit from the sale of a commodity or livestock or a government program, but they have an environmental credit they get. They have a premium that they're receiving for doing climate smart agriculture. They're selling some of their waste product to a processing facility down the road that's converting it into a sustainable aviation fuel. They're connected to the local school by selling something directly from their farm to the local school. They're online selling to customers all over the country in terms of product that's been processed locally as a result of the expansion of processing opportunities. That creates multiple revenue streams, multiple profit centers out of that same farm. And I think that's the way we can keep small and mid-sized producers in business, so that we have diversification of size.
With regard to future tense and future farm bill needs, could you stand before either committee and justify additional dollars coming for a 23 bill?
Well, you can always justify additional resources, but I think, Jeff, the key here is for folks to understand that that is just one vehicle by which you can address the needs. There's a budget, there's the CCC, there's, again, the Inflation Reduction Act, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, the American Rescue Plan. There have been discussions about limiting or clawing back some of those resources. Well, I would suggest that if we're really interested in meeting the need out there, that we need all the tools in the tool chest, and I think we need to be able to have as much flexibility as possible.
What's your take on nutrition? Because it appears that the work requirement and the Democratic and Republican side of the aisle are going to clash for this again, and it could be the key of whether we get a bill or not.
Well, first of all, I think when we start talking about the work requirement, I think the first thing that people ought to be doing, which they're not doing, is asking, who are these people? And I think the assumption, if I were to poll all of you here, the assumption is you're talking about an able-bodied person that for whatever reason just isn't working. What if I told you that people in that category are predominantly male, most of them homeless, and some, maybe a significant percentage, who have challenges mentally or challenges, but not sufficient enough to be a person with a disability, but sufficient enough to make it difficult for them, okay? And what if those homelessness, many of those homeless folks were veterans? How would you feel about it then? And so I asked that question because in 2019, we actually did a study of the ABODs, the Able-Bodied Workers Without Dependents, and it turns out that indeed most of them are male, a significant percentage of them are homeless, and many of them have some challenges. And we know we have a fairly significant high rate of homelessness among our veterans. So as we talk about this, I think we first of all have to ask that question. And the second question is this: why are we doing this? And if the answer is we're doing it because we're concerned about the cost of SNAP, then I ask, why aren't we asking a companion question? Why do we have SNAP for folks who are working? The substantial percentage, over 60% of the people receiving SNAP, are families with working moms and dads. Well, where are they working? They're working at jobs that pay minimum wage. So if we're interested in reducing SNAP, why aren't we also having a companion conversation about low-wage industries and companies? Shouldn't they be part of the conversation? And if they're not, why aren't they?
Secretary Vilsack says he hopes that Congress can resolve nutrition issues and approve a new farm bill on time. In Washington, I'm Jeff Daly.